अष्टोदर से श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा माई जमुना माई की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसनल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की ताई गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 29 श्री भगवान उवाच कृपालो अकृत द्रोहस तितिक्षु सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो अनवद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारक श्री भगवान उवाच कृपालो अकृत द्रोहस तितिक्षु सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो अनवद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारक श्री भगवान उवाच कृपालो अकृत द्रोहस तितिक्षु सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो अनवद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारक श्री भगवान उवाच कृपालु अकृतद्रोहस् तितिक्षु सर्वदेहिनां सत्यसारो अनवद्यात्मा समः सर्वोपकारक Matajis. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Kripaluhu, unable to tolerate the suffering of others, Akrita Droha, never injuring others, Titikshu, forgiving, Sarvadehinam, towards all living entities, Satyasara, one who lives by truth, and whose strength and firmness come from truthfulness, Anavadhyatma, a soul free from envy, jealousy, etc., Samaha, whose consciousness is equal both in happiness and in distress, Sarva Upakaraka, always endeavoring as far as possible for the welfare of all others. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Uddhava, a saintly person is merciful and never injures others. Even if others are aggressive, he is tolerant and forgiving towards all living entities. His strength and meaning in life come from truth itself. He is free from all envy and jealousy. And his mind is equal in material happiness and distress. Thus, he dedicates his time to work for the welfare of all others. Purport. Verses 29 to 31 describe the 28 qualities of a saintly person. And verse 32 explains the highest perfection of life. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the 17th quality, Mat Sharana, or taking complete shelter of Lord Krishna, is the most important. And the other 27 qualities automatically appear in one who has become a pure devotee of the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvair Gunaistatra Samasate Suraha. The 28 saintly qualities may be described as follows. Kripalu. Number 1, Kripalu. A devotee cannot tolerate seeing the world merged in ignorance and suffering, the whiplashes of Maya. Therefore, he busily engages in distributing Krishna consciousness and is called Kripalu or merciful. So, in this section of Uddhava Gita, the various qualities of a Vaishnava are described, and Kripalu, Vadanya, Karuna, Sarva Upakaraka, these four qualities are very often repeated and considered foundational in a devotee's character. All are interdependent, all have similar context and meaning. Karuna basically means compassion. Kripalu means mercy. Sarva Upakaraka means one who is always working for others' welfare. And Vadanya means magnanimous. So, in different places, Kripalu is defined in different ways. First, it is described, Kripalu basically means to situate people in the eternal truth. When the soul has forgotten its relationship with Krishna, then to help the soul reinstate its position in relationship to Krishna. And therefore, these are considered to be as Sarvair Gunair Tatra Samasate Suraha. So, guna basically in English means virtue. Virtue comes from the Latin word virtus, which basically means prowess. Prowess or the power or the strength. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes there are two kinds of gunas or virtues. One
that which arises from the soul itself, and the second, that which is in relative to things of this world. So the relative virtue is called sambandhagata punya. Sambandhagata punya basically means relative virtues, and there are four of these kind of virtues which are described. First is what is known as instrumental goodness. Like we say, this person is very good with children, very good with dealings. So he is instrumental in displaying, you know, certain reciprocations. Second is technical goodness, where someone is considered to be good in a particular skill which he has acquired. He is a good artist, he is a very good scientist. Like there is a famous story of, you know, the president of Israel was very much impressed by Albert Einstein and his accomplishments. And after the World War II, there was a journey which he undertook. He invited Albert Einstein to join him on the crossing of the Atlantic. And then, you know, the whole idea of that journey was that they were going to America, and the president wanted Albert Einstein to explain to him quantum mechanics, theory of relativity, and all these scientific paradigms. And the press was waiting in America expectantly for this historic visit. The president of Israel is coming, and along with that, Albert Einstein, the famous scientist, is coming in. And all through the journey, Albert Einstein was trying to explain to the president about all these concepts of science. And when they reached America, the press was very much eagerly awaiting. And as soon as they met the president of Israel, they started asking him, how was this journey? And how did you understand these scientific concepts explained by Albert Einstein? And the president said that in the entire journey, I understood one thing, that Albert Einstein has understood quantum mechanics very well. But it was very difficult for me to figure out. So somebody may have a certain skill, a certain ability, and you say, oh, he is very good in that. I may not be able to acquire that. Thirdly, is hedonistic goodness, which means that this food looks good. That means its potential to give me pleasure is very good. And fourth is beneficial goodness, that yes, someone tries to do good for others. The intention is to help others. So all of these come under the purview of what is known as relative virtues, sambandha gata punya. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the jiva, the soul, who is part and parcel of Krishna, the atma, has certain qualities which are inherent to the soul. These are known as swarupagata punya. And the swarupagata punya are described to be seven. What are these qualities or virtues? First is justice. Second is honesty. Third is kindness. Fourth is truthfulness. Fifth is friendliness. Sixth is purity. And seventh is mercy. And since today's discussion is on mercy or kripalu, we will focus on this aspect. But we must recognize the fact that kripalu, or being merciful, is an inherent character, quality, virtue of the soul. It is swarupagata punya. That means this quality can be actually brought out by practice of a process by which purification happens and the soul's original nature is reinstated. Therefore, Kripalu is defined as to situate people in the eternal truth. Because as soon as you situate people in the eternal truth and there is a connection with Krishna, the Swarupagata Punya comes out. Therefore, this is the whole understanding and definition of the difference between what is Punya which is acquired in relation with other things and Punya which is inherent part of the soul. Then we will now come to the point of questioning what is the need for demonstrating mercy. Is there any need for mercy? Why mercy is required in the first place? Why is compassion required in the first place? Because this material world is a place of suffering. When one experiences suffering, one needs freedom from that suffering. So therefore, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in great detail, Lord Kapila is explaining about the condition of souls in this material world who go through suffering. Tasse tasse jano nonam nayam vedoru vikramam kalya manopi balino vayor iva ghanavali. The souls are trying to enjoy independent of Krishna and they are thrown about just like clouds are thrown by the wind. Yam yam artham upadate dukhena sukha hetave tam tam dhunoti bhagavan puman shochati. Puman shochati yat krute. The conditioned souls have this particular characteristic that they are constantly aspiring for enjoying the sense objects. Yam yam artham upadate, they want to acquire the sense objects. And for that, they are willing to go through dukkhena, a lot of distress. For what? Sukha hetave. Their aspiration, their end result, which they are aspiring for is sukha. But tam tam dhunoti bhagavan. But Krishna smashes their plans repeatedly. Bhagavan puman shochati yat krite. And therefore the conditioned soul is in a constant state of lamentation because his plans are unfulfilled. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had one friend who had a business for stones, decorative stones for tombstones. When people die and they are buried, then you have tombstones. And people have various kinds of designs, various messages which they write. And in fact, there is a whole culture of people select the tombstone even before they die. And so Maharaj was asking him, why did you select such a business? He went to the showroom and he saw all kinds of tombstones and everything. And he said, in this business, market will never go down. Because death is a constant factor. And so the ultimate destruction of all of our desires happens at death. We had one student, he started, you know, coming to the program. And so he was chanting a few rounds. And then, you know, the devotee said, why don't you chant 4 rounds? You'll get good marks in exam. So he started chanting good 4 rounds and he actually passed with flying colors. So the devotee said, with 4 rounds you got so much marks, chant 16 rounds. So he started chanting 16 rounds. In next exam he failed. So he got bewildered. He said, hey, what should I do? Should I increase the chanting or decrease the chanting? I'm not able to understand. So then he realized that the material world is designed to frustrate our plans. Irrespective of whether we are chanting or not chanting. The purpose of chanting of the holy names is to connect us with the reality that Krishna is in control. And and therefore I need to become his servant. Not consider Krishna to be my order supplier. And therefore, here it is described that Yat adhruvasya dehasya sanubandhasya durmati dhruvani manyate mohat griha kshetra sutani cha. That this body which is very temporary, yat adhruvasya dehasya, the conditioned soul takes this temporary material body very seriously, because this body becomes the instrument for fulfillment of his desires. Sanubandhasya durmatihi, and he uses his intelligence to try to utilize this body for all kinds of sins. Dhruvani manyate, and he starts thinking that these material experiences are real. Manyate mohat, out of his illusion. Griha kshetra vasunicha, and he considers the house, the property, the relationships of this world, the various material accomplishments to be real. And therefore, Lord Krishna also has his plan. And so it is described that jantorvai bhava etasya yamyam yonim anubrajet tasyam tasyam salabhate nirvrittim na virajyate. So the jiva, depending on the kind of desire he has at the time of death, he gets a different body. So jantorvai bhava etasmin, the jantu, the soul, goes through material existence like this. Yamyam yonim anuvrajet, in whatever situation, whatever body he acquires. Yamyam yonim tasyam tasyam salabhate. In those particular material bodies, whatever experiences he undergoes, as a hog, as a dog, as an elephant, as an insect, whichever body he comes in contact with, that's what is described. Tasyam tasyam salabhate nirvrittim na virajyate. He does not feel dissatisfied. Nirvrittim na virajyate. He feels perfectly satisfied. He does not feel anything is lacking here. So therefore, that's how the Lord has designed the situation for the conditioned soul, that the conditioned soul gets adjusted in different situations and feels complacent. Yes, I'm in a good situation in this particular body. And so, narakasthopi deham vai na pumans tyaktum icchati. Even if he receives a body in hellish conditions, narakasthopi deham vai na pumans tyaktum icchati. He does not want to give up even in hellish condition. Even in hell, he does not want to give up that particular body. Why? Narakyam nirvritam satyam deva maya vimohita. Under the influence of deva maya, under the influence of material energy, narakyam nirvritam satyam, he considers this situation in hellish planets to be also real. At least I am getting some pleasure. So therefore, this is the greatest challenge for each and every conditioned soul, to overcome the so-called feeling of joy which he is experiencing. Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and then he came to a park. And Prabhupada looked at the park and said, they have worked very hard to create this beautiful park. And the best time to enjoy this is early in the morning. And we are the only ones who are enjoying this. The conditioned soul creates facilities for enjoyment. And so Prabhupada said, Yanisha sarabhutanam tasyam jagrata sanyami. What is day for the conditioned soul is night for the liberated soul. What is night for the liberated soul is day for the conditioned soul. So Bhagavad Gita describes this in great detail. So Prabhupada quoted this verse and said, what is the meaning of this verse? And Prabhupada said that the devotees, when they look at the conditioned souls and those who are trying to enjoy sense gratification, they laugh upon them. And when the conditioned souls look upon the devotees, they laugh upon the devotees. Right? Naturally, they cannot understand why the Hare Krishnas are doing what they are doing. But Prabhupada said, our laughing is better because we are situated in the reality of what is the nature of this material existence. And so, Kapila says, Griheshu Kuta Dharmeshu Dukkha Tantreshu Atandrita Kuruvan Dukkha Pratikkaram Sukhavan Manyate Grihi. That in this conditioned soul, conditioned life, the soul is trying to extract the maximum pleasure in this difficult situation. Griheshu Kuta Dharmeshu Dukkha Tantreshu. He is going through difficulty after difficulty, challenge after challenge, suffering after suffering. Dukkha Tantreshu. But Kuruvan Dukkha Pratikkaram, he thinks, somehow I will be able to counteract this Dukkha. Sukhavan Manyate Grihi. And he thinks, because of this, I am very happy. And this is the greatest pleasure of my life. Sukhavan Manyate Grihi. So therefore, the conditioned soul goes through various sufferings, and because of the sufferings which the conditioned soul is going through, that suffering ends at the moment of death. Shayana parishochit bhi parivita swabandhupi vachyamano api na brute uruvedanaya astadhi. The conditioned soul is lying on his deathbed. Shayana parishochit bhi parivita subandhavi. And various relatives, friends, family members are surrounding him. They are all lamenting. And then they are all looking at him, feeling helpless. We are not able to help him. He is dying. What can we do? And he is also looking upon them, thinking, what will happen to them? I have so many unlimited, unfulfilled desires. How will I fulfill it? Vachyamanopi na brute. He has a desire to speak something, but he is unable to speak. Vachyamanopi na brute. He is trying to share, but is unable to speak anything. So Narasingha Puran describes the story of a very old businessman, and he is constantly immersed in thoughts only of business, making more money, making more money. So his children, they develop some compassion and they call a saintly person and tell him, please take our father for some holy place. Take him for a tour, because he's only thinking about business, and he's in his late 80s, still he's in constant anxiety and suffering. At least towards the last stage of his life, we should be peaceful. Take him out. And then so this saintly person took this old businessman out for a tour of the holy places. And then after a few days, the saintly person came back and reported, I cannot handle your father anymore. So the son says, what happened? Wherever we are going to the holy places, I can show him the holiest of all holy places. He is constantly thinking of how to make more and more money even there. If I remain with him, I will start a business. So the sons tell him, no, give one more opportunity. Don't give up so soon. You should definitely try to transform him. You can do it. And so he takes him now to Varanasi, Kashi, and he takes him right to the place where there are the burning ghats in Varanasi, which are very famous, where dead bodies are burnt. And then as soon as this old man enters and sees the dead body is being burned on this funeral pyre, tears start flowing from his eyes. And the saintly person is very impressed. And he looks at this old businessman and says, "At last, do you understand how you wasted your life?" And he was crying and said, "Yes, I really understood how I wasted my life." Then he said, "Why didn't you realize this before?" And then this old man said, "Well, I'm just thinking how I wasted my life. I did entire life business in cloth. If I knew there was so much demand for wood, I would have done business in wood also." So that was his realization, even at the time of death. So, Bhagavatam says, Vachya manopi na brute uru vedanaya. So there are two kinds of vedana. One vedana is, there is pain in the body. And the second vedana is, one is unable to fulfill his desires. And there are unfulfilled plans. And therefore, every conditioned soul's life story is going to be this. Because even if till the moment of death one remains healthy, the moment of death brings great pain. But on the other hand, what is the solution for the pain caused by unfulfilled desires? With the prospect that I will not be able to fulfill those desires because the instrument for fulfilling those desires, the body, is going to be snatched away. Therefore, a devotee is very merciful, kripalu. He wants to alleviate the suffering of other conditioned souls as described by Lord Kapila. And so, we need devotees' intervention in the life of the conditioned souls, only then they can be delivered. A Vaishnava is therefore a very powerful intermediary who transforms the story of the conditioned soul's life. And so that Bhagavatam 11th Canto asks a question, who is more powerful, devotee or demigod? And then the answer is given, bhajantiya yatha deva, deva api tathaivatan, chayeva karma sachiva, sadhavo dinavatsalaha. And the answer is given, a devotee is more powerful even than a demigod. Why? Because chayeva karma sachiva, the demigods simply keep record of all the karmas. They only keep the record. Just like they are sachiv, they are like secretary. They only keep account. But they do not have the power to erase that account of karma, to nullify that karmic account, to cancel it. Sadhavo dinavatsala. Only the devotees have that power to do that. Therefore, they are considered more powerful. Of course, you know, we are just trying to be servant of the devotee. So we should not think I am like more powerful than demigods. Oh, I never knew that. Oh, thanks for that information. Most important point in today's class. No, the devotees, you know, the demigods are very, very powerful personal associates of the Lord. But they have been given a certain task of keeping track of the karmas. And therefore, the devotee's intervention is extremely important. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified by Swarup Damodar Goswami. When he meets Mahaprabhu first time, he offers his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, Helo dhunita khedaya, vishadaya pronmilat amodaya, samyak shastra vivadaya rasadaya chittarpitonmadaya, shashvat bhakti vinodaya samadaya madhurya maryadaya sri chaitanya dayanidhetavadaya bhuyat amandodaya. So Swarup Damodar Goswami is amongst the most powerful scholar followers of Mahaprabhu. Sangite Gandharva Sama Shastre Brihaspati Damodara Sama Ar Nohi Mahamati. There is no one as powerful scholar as Swarup Damodar Goswami. So in this beautiful verse, he glorifies Mahaprabhu as the embodiment of Daya. And he says, basically Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu's mercy enters into the life of conditioned soul at three levels. First level, he says, Helo dhunita khedaya vishadaya pronmilat amodaya. When the conditioned soul is going through suffering, and then that suffering creates a doubt in his mind. What is that doubt? Why am I going through suffering? Right? Many years ago, when we just began the Govinda's restaurant, and we hardly had any customers coming in, you know, so I would oftentimes go to see how many have come, who has come, and sometimes they would report, ek customer aa gaya. And say, oh wow, offer them garland and chandan, and it was like a big thing. So then I was just with somebody talking to him, one customer, and then at that moment another customer came in. He looked at me, he thought this is ISKCON restaurant, so this must be a waiter. So he looked at me and said, ek dosa leke aana. So I went inside and said that okay, there is an order for a dosa. And in the meantime, I started talking to this first gentleman whom I was talking to, and the second customer came and sat down. The waiter came out and he said, sir, what is your order? And he said, I already gave the order. So he said, to whom did you give the order? So he pointed to me, saying, inko de diya. So he said, aray baba, he is not a waiter, I am the waiter. He is not a waiter, who is he? So he said, oh, he is a preacher of Gita. So the customer said, I am very interested in Gita. Tell him that as I am eating dosa, he should tell me Gita. So I sat right in front of him, because, you know, we were also happy, someone is eager to hear. And the dosa came and he said, Maharaj, sunaiye Gita. So it was like a farmaishi karikram. And then I said, the essence of Gita is, we are trying to be the controller, our desires get frustrated, we go through suffering. He stopped eating the dosa, looked at me and said, I just lost my job. How true. Gita is so relevant, so practical. Tell me more. And then in 10 minutes, as he was completing the dosa, I had time to complete the 6-session course. And then he was really eager and he said, okay, I will take this mantra and mala, whatever you are saying, and you know, I'll start something. So here, Adav Shraddha means faith. But faith begins with doubt. Doubt in what? Doubt in my current paradigm. That I think, let me work, let me enjoy sense gratification, that will give me joy. People start getting doubt in that. So the main purpose of devotees is to actually first plant doubt, not faith. First plant doubt. When people are in their own world, practicing the process, thinking they are happy, we plant doubt. Oh, this is really the process, the paradigm you are thinking which will give you pleasure? Looks like there is something seriously wrong. We plant the doubt in people's mind by actually revealing the real nature of this material world. And so, when the doubt is planted, as soon as the doubt is planted, then gradually they start questioning. Then they start asking other questions about what exactly is the goal of life, what is the purpose of life, and things like that. And that's how Srila Prabhupada actually established Krishna consciousness in the whole world. Prabhupada was in Jhansi and he was trying to distribute books, and he had this famous book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. He showed it to one of his friends. And his friend said, "What will I get by reading this book?" Prabhupada said, "You read this book, you will go back home, back to Godhead, to Golok." And his friend said, "After going to Golok, can I come back to Jhansi?" And Prabhupada said, "What do you mean? What is the need? You ultimately are there in your ultimate destination." And he said, No. I have to come back to Jhansi. I can't take this book." So that was the kind of, you know, illusion conditioned souls are. And therefore they go through this suffering. And so the Nectar of Devotion describes that the first aspect of bhakti is that klesha agni. One becomes purified of the influence of suffering, of klesha. So helo dhunita khedaya. Mahaprabhu's grace first of all purifies the soul out of his anarthas. So adaushadda sadhusanga bhajanakriya anarthanivritti. So Mahaprabhu's grace helps the conditioned soul go through anarthanivritti. And then he says, samyak shastra vivadaya rasadaya chittarpitonmadaya. He actually then gradually comes to the stage of nishtha, ruchi and asakti. And as he is going through purification of anarthas, various shastric contradictions may create doubt in his mind. But by Mahaprabhu's grace, the greatest answer to all so-called contradictions in scripture which create doubt is the genuine experience of purification. Samyak shastra vivadaya rasadaya chittarpitonmadaya. Then one actually experiences progress in Krishna consciousness. All shastric contradictions harmonize by Mahaprabhu's grace. Then one comes to the stage of shashvat bhakti vinodaya samadaya madhurya maryadaya. Then one starts experiencing the stages of bhava and prema and the mellows of devotional service by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Sri Chaitanya Dayanidhe Tavadaya Bhuyat Amandodaya. We offer obeisances to Mahaprabhu, who thus brings fortune in the life of those who are with misfortune in this material world. Therefore, Mahaprabhu also, with this point in mind, he actually takes sannyas. That's the reason Mahaprabhu takes sannyas. More na manile sab lok hobe nash, ithi lagi kripardar Prabhu korila sannyas. Sannyasi buddhi more korive namaskar, tathapi khandibe dukkha paibe nistar. Mahaprabhu says, people are not respecting me, not taking my word seriously. At least, if I take sannyas, maybe they will bow down to me and accept me. Because of impurities, they are not accepting me. And therefore, Mahaprabhu took sannyas so that people who are rejecting him will at least respect him as a sannyasi and get purified. Hena kripamai chaitanyana bhajayajan sarvottama hoile tare asure ganan. And he says, one who does not accept even such a merciful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the best amongst asuras. Why? He is rejecting mercy which is coming. And so he says, yadiva tarkika kohe tarka se praman tarka shastra siddha jaye sai sevyaman. Somebody may say, I will only accept Mahaprabhu if you prove to me on the basis of logic. And so, he says the famous verse, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichar Vichar Kurite Chitte Pabe Chamatkar. If you want to really use your logic, apply your logic to Mahaprabhu's mercy. And so Prabhupada mentions three things. Why Mahaprabhu's mercy is so special and unique? Because the greatest philanthropy is the highest good being done to the maximum number of people for the longest period of time. And therefore, if one is able to invoke the soul to his real state of being Sat Chit Ananda, And therefore, Sat means eternity, for the longest period of time. Chit means knowledge. Irrespective of which species, every species of life is a soul, and that soul has their inherent knowledge. And therefore, it applies to all people. For the longest period of time, Sat, Chit and Ananda is the highest good, the pure bliss of Krishna consciousness. So bringing a soul to its original state of realizing that I am Sat, Chit, Ananda, part and parcel of Krishna, is the highest altruism, highest philanthropy. And therefore, that is the first reason why Mahaprabhu is considered to be the most merciful. Second, Mahaprabhu did not consider any qualification, whether someone is offensive or not offensive. He doesn't consider any offenses, any qualification. Thirdly, Mahaprabhu does not even expect any surrender, like Krishna expected surrender. Sarvadharman parityajya, you surrender to me, then I will purify you. So these are the reasons why Mahaprabhu is considered to be the most merciful. Krishna yadi chute bhakte bhukti mukti diya, tabhu prema bhakti na den rakhe na lukaiya. As far as Krishna is concerned, Krishna will give mukti, bhukti easily, but he will not give bhakti so easily. Hena prema sri chaitanya dilayatha tatha jagai madhai paryant anyirka katha. Swatantra ishvara prema niguda bhandar bilaile yare tare no koila vichar. And therefore Mahaprabhu is the most merciful because he distributes grace unlimitedly without any consideration. And therefore Mahaprabhu, when he was with the conditioned souls, he was simply engaging them in Harinam Sankirtan, embracing them. Just by Mahaprabhu's glance, by his embrace, by the power of his kirtan, everybody was delivered. Mahaprabhu engaged in detailed philosophical conversations only with a very few people. Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarabhaum Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Sanatan, Rupa Goswami. For majority, Mahaprabhu just gave mercy through Harinam. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada went one step ahead and he thought that in this age of Kali, it is not possible even to attract people direct to Harinam. And therefore Prabhupada said, prasad distribution. That will bring smile on everybody's face. That will make everybody look at the Hare Krishna devotees with little favorable attitude. Right? That purifies the senses. And when the senses are purified, then the Harinam Sankirtan purifies the mind. We were in a South India tour and we had set up the prasadam and everything, and suddenly, you know, one police vehicle came in and they said, hey, have you taken permission and this and that? He said, yes, we have taken permission. He said, no, where is the papers? I want to see immediately. I said, Baba, the buses are coming and the incharge is there and he will show you all the permission. No, I want it right now. And he was really like in an angry mood. So, we had just cooked South Indian menu and we had made moong dal paisam. So I thought, I don't have any permission letter to show now, but I have moong dal paisam to share. So I brought him moong dal paisam in a drone and said, please take this. And he said, oh, what is this? I am asking something, you are giving something else. I am saying, no Baba, we are just waiting. In that meantime, why don't you just have this? So, reluctantly he took one bowl and then he said, can I have one more? And then he had two, three bowls and then he went to his vehicle and got one steel dabba. And he said, I want to distribute in family and my neighbors also. It is really good. And then, the devotee who had the permission, he was going to come and then everything got sorted out. But as soon as one comes in contact with prasadam, it is not just food, it transforms the mind. One person used to come regularly to our temple in Amsterdam. So the pujari, He was very, very good preacher. So he saw here is a new person. He would take that morning offered sweet rice, cold, sweet, attractive sweet rice. He would call him and give him that. And he said, "Oh, this is for me." He said, "Yeah, it's for you only." And he tasted it, he loved it. And then he came again next day, again he got the sweet rice. Again he got. And every day he was giving this. And for 1 month he was coming regularly. And then after 1 month, this man said, "Okay, I am coming every day for half an hour, I am getting so much benefit. Let me stay inside the temple for a month or two and experience some seva here." So he moved into the temple to do some seva for some time. And then again that day the pujari called him. And he came running. The pujari gave him the sweet rice and said, "See that new man, give it to him." Continue the distribution. That's important. Prabhupada was in Mayapur and there was a new bhakta. And Prabhupada was passing by as they were taking prasadam. And this devotee was eating and there was a big mound of rice in front of him. Prabhupada passed by, stopped, came back. Prabhupada kept looking at this devotee and the amount of rice which is kept. And Prabhupada said, "There is so much of rice on your plate, I can't even see you behind." And then Prabhupada laughed and he said, "Prasadam purifies." So, the conditioned souls desire to enjoy things of this world. That gets purified in contact with Krishna Prasadam. Then it purifies further in contact with the holy name. And that's how Mahaprabhu's compassion spreads. And therefore, here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as the most merciful and magnanimous for this reason. Mahaprabhu's devotees are therefore demonstrating compassion in various ways. So the last part of today's discussion is seven different ways in which devotees demonstrate compassion. How do they share compassion with others? First is, a devotee's compassion is shared by his darshan, just by his presence. When conditioned souls look at pure devotees, just by having darshan of the pure devotees, they are transformed. Yat pada samshraya suta mune prashamanaya sadyo punanti upas prishtah swardhuni apo anusevaya. Ganges purifies in contact, but pure devotee purifies just by seeing from a distance. And therefore, when Shukadeva Goswami enters, Maharaj Parikshit looks at him and says, "Yesham samsmaranat pumsam sadyo shuddhyanti vaigriha kim punar darshana sparsha pada shauchasanadibhi." Says, "What to speak of touching you, taking the dust of your feet upon my head, just by seeing you, we are purified, O Shukadeva Goswami." And so when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in front of Ramanandarai glorifies Mahaprabhu and says, "Mahat vichalanam ranam," he says, "Mahanta swabhava ei tarite pamor, nijakare nahitabu ya taraghor." And he quotes Nanda Maharaj glorifying Gargacharya, "Mahat vicharanam ranam grihinam dina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan kalpate na anyatha kvachit." Dina chetasam means very small minded, constantly meditating on selfish thoughts. I, me, mine, I, me, mine. It is called dina chetasam. The consciousness is very restricted, very limited. And therefore, when great souls come in contact with the conditioned souls, they transform their consciousness. Therefore, darshan. Through darshan, the pure devotees transform the hearts of others. And those who are recipients of that darshan, how should they reciprocate? we should not neglect the pure devotees' presence. We should not neglect their presence, we should not take their presence for granted. That is how we respect the darshan of the pure devotees. Like Ramanujacharya, he was honoring Prasadam, and after honoring Prasadam, he washed his hand in Kaveri. As he washed his hand in the Kaveri river, few specks of rice from his hand entered into the river, and then some fishes, they took that Mahaprasad, and suddenly the fishes got 400 form and right in front of all the disciples ascended to Vaikuntha. The disciples were shocked. They looked at Ramanuja and said, "My dear Gurudev, these fishes, they had your Mahaprasad just once and they got 400 form. We are having your Mahaprasad every day, still we have two hands only. What is the difference?" And Ramanuja said that these fishes, they were totally innocent and they did not have any offensive mentality. And because of that innocence, they got the benefit. And so the presence may be there, but the presence of the pure devotees must be reciprocated by the innocence of those who are receiving that. Second, instruction of the pure devotees. The compassion or kripa of the Vaishnavas is manifested through their instructions. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Narad Muni finds Vyasdev in a state of dissatisfaction, and out of his great compassion, he gives instructions to Vyasdevji. And he says that Tadvag visargo janatag viplavo yasmin pratishloka abaddavatapi. You should write literatures which glorify Lord Krishna. Bhavata anudita prayamesho bhagavato malam yeno vasaina tushyeta. You are not feeling satisfied because you have not glorified Krishna sufficiently. And therefore, you should utilize your literary skills to glorify Krishna. Idam hi pumsas tapasa shrutasya svishtasa suktasa cha buddhidattayoho avichyutopir kavibhir nirupito yaduttama shloka gunanuvarnanam. Whatever intelligence, knowledge, philosophy, skills, logic, literary ideas you have, utilize it for glorifying Krishna. Yad uttama shloka gunanuvarnanam. And therefore, we find that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Nityananda Prabhu, and that is his mercy, compassion. Nityananda kahe Prabhu, shunaha Shripad. Ei ami magi tumi karaha prasad. I have a request for you. I am asking you this. Prativarsha nilachale tumina asiba gauda rahe mora ichha safala koribo. Every year do not come to Jagannath Puri. Stay in Bengal and preach. Why? He says, taha siddhi kore hena anyena dekhite mora amara dushkara karma ama hoite hoye. I do not see anyone else who can fulfill this desire of mine. Therefore, I request you, you do not come to Puri, you stay in Bengal and you preach Krishna consciousness. So the question is, how do we reciprocate with that mercy? So those who are receiving that mercy in the form of instruction, they reciprocate by being dedicated to those instructions, dedicate oneself to fulfill those desires. So Nityananda Prabhu says, Nityananda kahe ami deha tumi pran, deha prana bhinna nahe eito praman. My dear Lord, you are my master. I am the servant. The servant is like the body. The master's instruction for the servant are like the soul. The soul gives meaning to the body. And so the master's instructions give meaning to the devotee and to the disciple. Achintya shakte karatumi tahara ghatan ye karah sei kari nahikaniyam. Nityananda Prabhu says, even though sometimes the instruction may appear impossible to follow, achintya shakte tumi, by your inconceivable potency, tumi tahara ghatan, you will make the impossible possible. To preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal appears impossible to me now, but maybe by your inconceivable potency, it will happen. And therefore, the recipient must be very open to the idea of preaching Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness. And so Srila Prabhupada, as I described, in the initial days, had difficulty, challenges. But then when he went to America and then when he came back to India, there were so many people who were willing to take up Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada brought the dancing white elephants, and then he was going program after program in different people's homes and transforming their lives, transforming their hearts. Prabhupada did a program in Aligarh. You know, there is a house of the owner of the Tiger Lock Company. And Prabhupada did a program. And then as Prabhupada was speaking, there was a minister also who was sitting there. And this was during the time of, you know, emergency. And that time the government had one, you know, slogan, Kam Adhik Bate Kam. There was a slogan at that time. So then as Prabhupada was giving a talk, and Prabhupada started referring to that slogan, and he says, they are saying Kam Adhik Bate Kam, Gita is saying Kam Kam Bate Adhik. So everybody got bewildered, because it was totally different idea. Prabhupada said, yes, because first understand Krishna's message. Arjuna first heard the Gita. Then after hearing the Gita, he engaged in fighting. So first understand what is your position, what is your duty, then you perform the duty. So therefore I say, Kam Kam Bate Adhik. And then Prabhupada's lecture style is, he goes on hammering one point repeatedly. Kam Kam Bate Adhik, Kam Kam Bate Adhik. So the organizer got little bewildered that how will the minister react. So he came on the stage and whispered in Prabhupada's ear that Prabhupada ji, Mantri ji bhi yaha hai. Prabhupada in the mic said, Kaha hai Mantri ji? And that minister was right there. He said, Swamiji hum yaha hai. Prabhupada said, Gita is saying like this, first you understand philosophy, first understand duty, and then perform the duty. Is there anything wrong if I say, Kam Kam Bate Adhik? Nahi Swamiji, aap theek bolte ho. And Prabhupada said, just see, even minister is accepting this fact. The fact is, the Gita is meant to help you realize your actual duty. And therefore, the instructions of the devotees have to be accepted as one's life and soul. Saraswati Thakur gave instruction to Prabhupada and Prabhupada accepted that. And that instruction given by Saraswati Thakur to Prabhupada is a display of his kripa. The third way in which kripa manifests is through sangha and seva. The devotees give opportunity for Vaishnav seva, for offering Vaishnav seva. And so Narad Muni experienced this compassion of the Bhakti Vedantis. Uchishta lepan anumodito dvijo sakritsma bunje sadapashta kilbisha. When he had the Mahaprasad remnants, his heart was purified. And when his heart was purified, he was able to acknowledge what they are speaking, and he understood the message. To the extent that when his mother died when he was only 5 years old, he had the conviction to withstand this particular situation with great fortitude. Tada tadhamishasya bhaktanam sham abhipsatam anugraham manyamana pratishtam dishamuttaram. He could see this calamity as Krishna's mercy. And therefore, the prasadam which we get in the temple is not just the food which we get, but the knowledge by which we are able to appreciate every situation as Krishna's prasad, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's grace. And therefore, he could see that because of the association of those Vaishnavas. He got chance to serve those Vaishnavas. And so, Bhagavatam says, Kirata hunandra pulinda pulusha abhira shumba yavanakhasadaya yenyecha papa yad apashrayashraya. Even if someone is born in different circumstances, if they get the shelter of the devotees, yad apashrayashraya shuddhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave, by the power of their devotional service, they will give the ability for those who take their shelter to be purified. And therefore the service to such devotees is extremely purifying. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadhushukruto moksha dwaram apavratam. Just like a person engrossed in sense gratification is attached to sense objects, if we become attached to the devotees, that attachment opens the door of liberation of the spiritual world. Therefore, such association, such opportunity to serve the devotees is extremely rare and extremely purifying. Srila Prabhupada was on a flight and the air hostess, you know, she was moving around, and Shruta Kirti Prabhu was on the flight and he was serving Prabhupada some puffed rice, kurmura. And as Prabhupada was eating, the air hostess came there and she asked, do you need anything? And then when she saw Prabhupada taking that puffed rice, you know, so she kind of became a little inspired and she put her hand and took a little bit of that Prabhupada's kurmura, mahaprasad. And the devotees were shocked that, you know, we also take maha but not like this. And then as soon as she took that, she said, do you need any fruits, any milk? You're vegetarian, I can bring something. She went and got some fruits and milk. And Prabhupada acknowledged that, oh, she has developed service attitude. And then many years later, one devotee was sharing this story with Shruta Kirti Prabhu that in South America, these devotees went on a Harinam Sankirtan, they were distributing books. And one lady invited them to the house and revealed to them that in my younger days, I was the air hostess, I was on this flight, and then Srila Prabhupada was there and I tasted the Mahaprasad remnants, and after that I started searching for books written by him. I got connected to the devotees, and she was now initiated devotee, she had Gaur Nithai deities at her house. That was the power of association of even kurmura, which is touched by the lips of a pure devotee. So the sangha is very powerful. The fourth way in which the mercy flows is through the writings, through the shiksha or the message of the devotees. And so Vyasdevji, he got instruction from Narad Muni, and he starts meditating. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranahite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam ched apashrayam. So Vyasdevji, he actually writes the Srimad Bhagavatam to destroy the anarthas of the conditioned souls. Anartha upashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshaje. Lokasya ajanato vidvam chakre satpat sammitam. This Srimad Bhagavatam destroys the anarthas, fills the heart with shoka moha bhayapaha, destroys shoka moha and bhay, and fills with bhakti. And so Vidura, he actually glorifies Maitreya Rishi by saying, janasya krishnat vimukhasya daivat adharmashilasya sudukhitasya anugrahayaiva charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. Great souls travel place to place distributing Krishna katha, the message, and bringing conditioned souls who are faced against Krishna and bringing them towards Krishna. And therefore, how do we reciprocate with this message? We reciprocate by studying these books, understanding these books, applying these books in our own life. And that's the whole idea of how we practice this process. There was one, you know, young brahmachari in one temple in America. And then, you know, every day in the morning, the temple commander would come and try to wake him up very forcibly. And sometimes he would apply so much force that lift him by the legs, the, you know, sleeping bag, and suddenly upturn the sleeping bag upside down and get the person out. And he was like totally bewildered that, oh, it is so difficult to get up in the morning and I cannot stay in the temple, looks difficult. And then one day he decided, I'm going to leave. So he packed his bags, everything, and then he thought, okay, let me take a shower. As he was taking a shower, he put on a tape of Prabhupada. And as Prabhupada was speaking from teachings of Queen Kunti and about how Kunti went through difficulties. And Prabhupada said, and Krishna sends difficulties and challenges in a devotee's life because these challenges and difficulties are sent by Maya. But Maya is also a servant of Krishna. She is a pure devotee of Krishna. Her service to Krishna is to test the sincerity of a practicing devotee to see whether this devotee has come to serve Krishna or disturb Krishna. And therefore Maya has been given that service. So one should tolerate these difficulties. And as soon as he heard that, he said, after coming out, anyway, I have packed up and about to go. Now Prabhupada is saying like this, so maybe Krishna has sent this person in my life as Maya to test me. Let me give one more chance. So he unpacked his bag, continued thinking, let me try one more week. 1 week went to 1 month, 1 month went to 1 year, 1 month went to 1 decade, 2 decades. And that person is His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. So you can imagine, one line from Prabhupada, that one message, how it can transform someone's life. And so, the fifth way in which the devotees share their mercy is through their prayers. Prarthana. Prayers. So Advaita Acharya prayed for Mahaprabhu to descend. Mahaprabhu reciprocated with his prayers of compassion. And the greatest example of such a prayer is Vasudeva Datta. Jivera papa laya mui karo naraka bhog. Sakala jivera papa ghuchaha bhavarog. I am willing to take everybody's sin on me. That is my prayer. And Mahaprabhu, he says that Tomara vichitra nahe tumi sakshat prahlad. Tomara upare krishnera sampurna prasad. I am not bewildered by seeing this prayer because you are non-different from Prahlad. Krishna yai satyakare jai mage bhritya. Bhritya vancha purti vino aranahi kritya. Krishna has no other task apart from fulfilling desire of devotees. And if you, Vasudev Datta, pray like this, all the souls will be delivered. So Prabhupada writes beautiful points that Vasudev Datta's prayer, compared to the compassion of many others in history, why it was special. First, Vasudev Datta not prayed just for his followers. He prayed for everybody. Second, Vasudev Datta did not just pray, purify everybody of their sins. No, he prayed, take them out of material existence. Thirdly, Vasudev Datta's prayer did not leave any scope for the practitioner to commit further sin because he was delivering them from material existence. And fourthly, Vasudev Datta had something very unique. He, Prabhupada writes, his mood was perfectly true without any expectation, giving the most perfect escape route to the conditioned souls without any intermediate process. And third, no one in history had ever given such deliverance to the conditioned souls at one shot. One shot. Take this, go. Who will deny? And then fourth, by his whole presence, the entire world is delivered. And this is, you know, how the prayers of the devotees. So how do you accept and receive these prayers? We have to accept and receive these prayers with gratitude. We express gratitude to those souls for their prayers. By their prayers, Krishna is willing to deliver us. The sixth way in which devotees' prayers, devotees' mercy is manifested is in a very unique way, through their chastisement, through their dand or shrapa. We are not very eager for this. Right? And the example is Vidura. He gives his mercy to Dhritarashtra by chastising him, telling him, you are always blind, now you are deaf also. Vishiranadanta mandagni saraga kafamudvahan rajam nirgamyatam. Get out of the house. You are so addicted to sense gratification. Shameless fellow. Get out. And then Dhritarashtra mercifully followed and he got delivered. Narad Muni, he gives curse to Nalakuver and Manigriv. And he tells him that, you know, nahi anyo jushado joshyam buddhi brahmsho rajoguna. Shri madat abhijatyadair yatrastri dyutamasava. Because of this mud, intoxication due to wealth, they are behaving like this. Let me take away that by making them trees, so that they will not have access to any sense gratification. And he gives them the curse, at the same time gives them the benediction that they will get Krishna's darshan. And Krishna will deliver them. So when Lord Damodar is pulling that ukhal, Lord Damodar comes to the spot and he sees Nalakuver and Manigriv, then he remembers, Rishir Bhagavata Mukhyasya Satyam Kartum Vacho Hari Jagama Shanakai Yatra Yatrastam Yamalarjuna. He remembers, Narad Muni had said this, I have to deliver them. Devarishi me priyatamo yadimo dhanatatmajau tattatha sadeshyami yan gitam tan mahatmana. Because Devarishi is so dear to me, and because he has desired like that, I have to change the direction of my life. And Krishna changed the direction and went straight in between the two trees, pulled them, and then delivered both of them. So that's how Narad Muni's curse became a benediction. How do we receive the mercy in the form of curse or chastisement? We have to appreciate the intention behind that curse or the chastisement and tolerate it. And at our level, we should not aspire to engage in this kind of activity, to try to chastise and say that I am giving you mercy. No. So therefore, the impact of that depends on the attitude and the relationship which one has. And the seventh way in which the mercy is, kripa is shared, is the devotees leave behind their own life's story. And when that devotee's life is shared with others, then one's heart is transformed through their narrations, through their katha. In this way, the wonderful shloka today glorifies about the essence of Vaishnava qualities, which is kripa, which is one of the essential qualities. The two qualities we discussed was Swarupa Gata Punya and Sambandha Gata Punya. Sambandha Gata Punya is qualities which people may try to acquire through social imposition or through training externally, through proper behavior and things like that. that is sambandhagata, it is relative virtue. But the original constitutional virtues of the soul, as described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, are seven. And out of that, the seventh one is mercy, kripa. And by practice of Krishna consciousness, this quality of mercy can be enhanced, increased. And the devotees, they actually share their mercy with other conditioned souls in so many ways, including through their darshan, through their writing, through their instructions, through their service, through their prayer, through their chastisement, and through their life's narrations and life story. And let us also pray to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada that we can try to be a humble, insignificant instrument in the mercy, in sharing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with unlimited souls, so that they can overcome the suffering which Lord Kapila is describing in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And once we become the instrument of alleviating conditioned souls' suffering, we start connecting with Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have announcement on mercy. On the occasion of Sri Krishna Janmashtami, for the pleasure of devotees, Back to Godhead India is presenting for the first time a book, and the name of the book is Descending Divinity. For details of the book, please contact the BTG stall downstairs. And this department and this announcement is coming from His Grace Balram Ananda Prabhu. So if you descend down the stairs, you will connect with descending divinity. You will come across Srila Prabhupada's mercy in the form of His Back to Godhead magazine, and this particular book is a description in that regard. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. There is an announcement. Today's breakfast prasad is sponsored by Sandesh Prabhakar Shetty Prabhuji in loving memory of his wife Srimati Salma Shetty. Seeking blessings and prayers for the spiritual well-being of the departed soul and family. Let us express our gratitude and prayers by